Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show with Russ and Kim. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 291, recorded April 18th, 2016.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers.
Welcome. We're still here so far.
Yeah, and we have received
a couple of messages,
and we are thinking that part of the problem is we've had some bouncing emails and contact attempts. So it's not so much that people aren't trying to contact us, it's just that there were some glitches, which we think we're getting resolved. I'm going to talk to you about that.
So if you are trying to email us, first try info@aquarimax.com, and if that doesn't work, if it bounces back or we end up not answering you, go ahead and send it to rmaxwilson@gmail.com. And if for some weird reason that doesn't work either, leave a comment on our Facebook page and tell us what's going on.
Which you can always do anyway.
Yeah, you can always do that. You can always send it in on a Facebook page too, or Facebook message. If you don't want to send it in on an email, that's fine too.
But it looks like info@aquarimax has been bouncing again. We thought we had that resolved.
It's so naughty.
It was doing it again. And Mick alerted us to that fact.
Thank you,
through
Mick.
The Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mick. Yes. And then we contacted Wed Guru John. And we think it's got it fixed. And Mick was successfully able to send us a message through info@aquarimax.com.
So hopefully it will stay fixed.
Right. So we've got some other news, too, before we dig in with our guests or our contributors for the day. One is that I have been making progress with the Daphnia. There are now at least two broods of young in there with the, it looks like two adult Daphnia, both female, of course. That tends to be the rule. And they're fairly large, bigger than my other Daphnia used to get, which makes me think that, well, it doesn't make me think a whole lot. I'm not going to worry about it. It's just they're big. And then the... like I said, there are at least two broods going on, so they're working, and I've got two buckets running now. One of them is kind of maturing. I'm letting the water mature in there. I've got air stones in both of them, or not air stones, but air lines, moving the water a little bit. And I've got an infusoria culture going in one, and I've got the Daphnia going in the other. And I fully expect to have plenty of Daphnia this summer and fall, so I'm excited about that they bounced back. Even if it was only by, you know, two were able to survive. Maybe, I don't know, we'll see how it goes this next time. I'll probably try to bring some in and keep a culture going during the winter in the house just in case. But I'm happy about it. Do you want to tell them what else happened?
Oh, yes. We were guests on another podcast called Stand Curious. It's hosted by Fran...
McGrogan.
Yes. I was having a hard time with that one. Sorry. So we will put up the link so you can go listen to us if you want. Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's on standcurious.com is the website you can find it at.
She does a podcast about other people's hobbies, like how to start in on that hobby.
And so, you know, for aquariums, it's kind of introductory, but it's still fun to listen to. It was fun to talk to her. And so
she was very nice.
Not only you could check it out, but if you have any people who are interested in the aquarium hobby, you could send them there, and that would be a good kind of introduction to some of the ideas that you'd need to be aware of before you embark.
So that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Our guests for today
are
we'll put
a link up on the page.
Sorry. Yeah.
We'll put a link up on the page.
Yes, we will.
Directly to the post that we're in. I think it's episode 6, maybe. Okay.
Okay. Our contributors for today are Lance in Guelph, Ontario, and I apologize if I'm saying that wrong.
And I believe Lance is a new contributor.
Yes, I think he is. And Mick in Carnforth, UK, the one and only.
The one and only.
Yes.
So let's start out with Lance.
Hopefully by this point, all not flooded anymore.
Right.
Yes. Okay. So Lance says, had asked you guys if we should keep going. He says, for sure, keep going with the podcast. I know it's hard to keep coming up with new ideas, but good aquarium podcasts are few and far between. I drive for a living and spend most of my day listening to podcasts and always look forward to new aquarium podcasts being podcasts being released. I live in Ontario and keep a colony of Frontosa, a flock of assorted South American cichlids. I love that he calls them a flock. and a few other fish I found interesting and bought over the years. Archerfish, walking catfish, calvis, and some others. My basement is starting to look like a fish store. Do you guys have any experience with larger fish? In conclusion, there are lots of great aquarium YouTube, or there's lots of great aquarium YouTube content out there next to no great podcasts. Keep up the good work. Cheers, Lance.
Cool. Well, we're glad to hear that you want the podcast to keep going, mm-hmm. first of all. And, you know, I realized I sent him an email asking where he was located. I had forgotten that he said right in there he's from Ontario. But he did give me some more specific information, which is good. So sorry about that, Lance. Somehow I forgot. Well, as far as larger fish, we actually haven't had a lot of larger fish, have we?
We did have cichlids, just not giant cichlids.
We've had various cichlid species, but most of them were fairly small mm-hmm. cichlids. I mean, probably the biggest cichlids we had were just some mbunas, mm-hmm. you know, 6-7 inches maybe. Those are the largest fish. I mean, I might have had goldfish that are larger than that.
Busters,
we haven't done any tank busters, except for goldfish might arguably be called tank busters, and we've had some pretty big goldfish, probably bigger than 6 inches. I mean, she's bigger right over there. Pondy's bigger than 6 inches, as long as you count her tail.
That's true.
She's probably 9-ish inches long, but that's not very big compared to some of the other things he's talking about, like, you know, walking catfish mm-hmm. and stuff. I have handled walking catfish.
It's true.
You remember when we were at, it was one of the facilities.
I was just thinking about that. The facility.
The freshwater. The Windward facility, yeah, mm-hmm. in Hawaii. Our friend Dave, the marine biologist, we went to, how many facilities
just
did we go
two.
To? Just two?
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking there was another one. Mm-mm. But.
Well, maybe you went to another one and I didn't, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't remember. But I remember we went to the Coconut Island one and we went to the Windward College one. Two aquaculture facilities. And anyway, one of them was largely freshwater, and he had some, they had walking catfish there, which was really crazy that, you know, they're illegal in most parts of the United States, but they're not legal in Hawaii, where
introduced everything
species,
else is
everybody,
illegal.
Yeah, everything's yeah. illegal over there.
Oh,
so many
the irony.
Things. But they weren't, and they had some on the facility, so we got to handle them. That was interesting. Baby ones, I think, are mostly what we handled, but.
Didn't we talk about tank
I think
busters
we netted
in
some
our
of the bigger
with Mike?
Ones out. What?
Didn't we talk about tank busters in our interview with Mike?
Yeah, we did.
I'm not sure which episode number that is, but if you wanted to go back and revisit that one, you mm-hmm. might get some good information there.
Yeah. But I would love to do archerfish someday.
Yes, that's one that you've talked about for a long time.
I have. I want to get a big, long tank, maybe like a 250-gallon, and I want to make it so that I want to plant mangroves in it that actually extend from the water and grow up like, you know, make it look like a mangrove estuary kind of thing with archerfish in it. I've been wanting to do that for a long time. I probably won't do it for a long time, but I want to. It would be fun.
It's on your bucket list.
Right, it is. And, yeah, with 55 gallons being our upper limit for fish tank sizes, we really haven't branched out into really big fish. I dug a few ponds when I was a kid, and we got some goldfish to get pretty big in the ponds. Mm-hmm. But that's about the extent of it. So, yeah. Well, we're going to try.
Thank you for your information on the pod, or your input on the podcast.
Yeah, we're really grateful that you enjoy the show, and we'll try to keep it going in some form or another, and see how it goes.
Yep. Okay, Mick in Carnforth. He says, "Hi, guys. Here's a quick catch-up on stuff over recent weeks. I have been redesigning my breeding tanks to all include Hamburg Matin filters. So, I do not know what a Matin filter is, although it's kind of entertaining to say.
Yep.
Matin filter.
Yeah, I always want to say it in a German accent. Because
Matin filter.
Because it's from Germany, you know, it's called a hamburger Matin filter because it's mm-hmm. from Germany. I'm going to show you some pictures here, but I'm going to explain it to everybody else, too. So you get the idea. That's the filter right there. Basically, oh, my document's all messed up. Now, what did I do? I broke it. Okay. Basically, a Matin filter is based on a mat, and they are sometimes called mat filters.
Okay.
It's a sheet of open cell foam or another porous material like that. And it acts as a wall. So it partitions off a portion of the aquarium. And there's a power head, or sometimes just an airlift tube. It depends on how much water flow you want. that sends water from one side of the wall to the other side, and that causes a flow through that porous wall of the foam or whatever it happens to be in the other direction. So you've got this...
So you get like a cycle.
The cycle. If you use a power head, you're going to get a higher flow than if you just use an airlift. But either way, it's going to flow through that material. And in many ways, Matten filters are a lot like a sponge filter, and they're often made of the same material. They provide a lot of
surface area
for biological filtration, and they're great when you just need a gentle flow, like in a breeding tank, something like that. They're pretty safe for little fry. And you, on the other side of the filter, the side that's away from the main area of the tank, it's kind of like a refugium. So it can be a place where small invertebrates could live, and sometimes people use it to house fry. Some people use it if there's a fish in the tank that's getting bullied or something like that, or is being a bully, you can put it in that side for a while, and it'll still enjoy the water quality of the whole tank system, but it's kind of in small quarters for
it's
a while,
time which out.
Can be good if it needs a timeout, or it can be good if it just needs a quiet place to heal for a few days, you know, different things like that. So Mick actually has sent us some pictures, which are the pictures I mentioned that I was showing to Kelly, and we'll put those on the show page so you can check them out.
These are the ones that he's talking about in his email that he converted all his tanks to.
Right. Okay. So now we can go back to, now that you've got a basic idea what a Matten filter is, we can go back and he's going to talk about them.
Okay. He says, for most, I'm using a power head, but I'm trying air-powered lifters on some small 10-liter tanks. I'm using the nylon weave koi matting, which is around 1.5 inches thick, and unlike traditional cellulose sponges, won't collapse with age.
And that is a benefit because sometimes, with the thickness of the material...
kind of just collapse on
it
itself.
It can get heavy, especially when it's full of stuff, and it can, kind of fall over a little bit.
He says, I have used a fine white floss mat over some of it for very small fry. I've attached some pictures for you to share.
And that's a good idea to keep. You know, you want to keep the fry from getting stuck, mm-hmm. especially if you're using a power head. And a fine mat like that would help keep that from happening. So that's a good idea.
Okay. Despite all efforts, I lost my battle with hair algae in my living room tank, so I decided to strip it out completely and blast the whole thing with bleach. Caught up all the fish and housed them in some of the recently designed mat filter tanks, very handy, and kept all the biological media from the filter going. It took just a week to get everything stripped, scrubbed, bleached, and restarted. Not a job for the faint-hearted or inexperienced keeper, that's certainly true. But now a month or so on and everything is looking good, with two of my black marble angels spawning last week and no return of the dreaded hair algae.
Yay!
That's good.
Yeah, I've been through that. The whole bleaching process. Not fun.
It was not fun.
That was an ordeal. Mm-hmm. I still remember. It was successful. I was able to get the algae under control, but it was not fun.
It was this painful process.
I'm glad it worked for you, and hopefully you won't ever have to do it again.
He says, I will send some pictures when I have finished tinkering with the design. When we had the floods last November, we took in a group of 6 goldfish while a customer was rehomed. They have now gone back, but before they did, the 2 black moors decided to spawn all over the filter.
Nice.
I didn't know for a few days, but found the eggs and removed them with the fangs and fins. Patent-pending egg remover. Oh, that sounds exciting. Also known as a plastic plant label. Aha! Some weeks on now, and they have gone from feeding off microorganisms from the pond to baby brine shrimp to very fine powder foods. I will try and get a short video of them posted on YouTube for you to see and share.
I would love to see that.
That's pretty cool.
Baby moors.
Yeah. So things have been very busy with the shop, and we are now making headway into this season's pond fish and assorted goods. Spring is certainly in the air. Best fishes, Mick.
Sounds like it.
Mick, it's nice to hear from you again. I'm sorry for the email problems.
Yeah. And thank you for sending on these pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And we may actually post a YouTube video a little bit about this, the whole Matten filter thing, because I think a lot of people don't really know what they are. And that would be good for them to, have a chance to see how they work and
know
whatnot.
About another option mm-hmm. for your tank.
Okay. So I think that's everything
that's
for the
everything.
Week, right?
Yes.
Should be. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone. Please remember to send an email or comment, question, whatever, to info@aquariummax.com. Try that out, see if it works. If not, rmaxwilson@gmail.com will
R
work.
R as in Russ.
Yes, and Max as in AquariumMax. Also my middle name.
Yep, that's where it came from.
And there we go. May the fish
be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the AquariumMax Audio. For additional episodes, please visit AquariumMax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquariummax.com.